everybody. I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about the power of prayer to put the enemy in his place so that you can pursue your purpose with a passion. We're going to be talking about the power of prayer. Now, I'm going to be in a few places in Scripture today. I'm going to be in Exodus. I'm going to be in Matthew talking about the power of prayer. But before we dive in today, I want to just give you a picture of the principle that I'm going to be talking about. So my family and I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, but we have a piece of property with two other families out in Eastern North Carolina. Now, it's out in the middle of nowhere, but it is home to the great outdoors, fishing and trail walking and all the kinds of things that we like to do there. I should say my husband is a big fisherman, and so he really enjoys that. My boys, we've grown up there and just really enjoy that piece of property. When we bought the property many, many years ago, gosh, I think it's been like 23 years ago, we went to the closing and the lawyer presented us with papers and we received a deed. And as we signed those papers, the lawyer recorded it and it was declared that that was our property, that we owned the property, that we had the rights and permission to enjoy that property whenever we wanted to. But how many of you know that even though something is rightfully yours, sometimes something can be ours and we will not enjoy it? That there's a difference between that. That there's a difference between having an inheritance in Christ and actually experiencing it. And we're going to be talking about that today. But anyway, so the piece of property that we have, beautiful, lots of fun. And one of the things that I would do when the boys were little is pile them into the car on the weekend and we'd go up to the farm and we'd meet friends of ours there, the other family that had this property with us. They had children that were my boy's age. And these folks that we have this property with, they're used to living out in Eastern North Carolina inside of rural areas. I am not. I'm a city girl, live right inside of the capital of North Carolina. But thankfully, these folks are. And one of the families that we have this with, her name is Pam. The mom's name is Pam. She's a good friend of mine. And Pam is your quintessential pioneer woman. I mean, she just is so at home in the outdoors and all that sort of stuff like that. And so one day we go to the farm and we're piling out of the car and Pam comes up to me and says, the boys are getting on their suits. And Pam comes up to me and says, just so you know, I saw a big black snake. I think it was a water moccasin. I'm not sure. But I went and got the gun and just shot it. And I'm like blown away. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you might be listening. You may not like guns. But gosh, that day, man, I was so glad that we had one on the property because I do not like snakes. So much so that if the situation were reversed, if it was me just there and I would have seen that snake, I would have grabbed my babies and I would have pulled them inside of the cabin and I would have escaped and out of fear because I just don't like snakes. And that brings me to my illustration because you see, even though I had the rights to that property, even though the property was deeded mine, I, because of that snake, could have made a decision to pull back and not enjoy that inheritance because of the fear of the snake. And sometimes I think inside of our Christian walk, you know, we'll read scriptures inside of the Bible that talk about our inheritance in Christ, but we can feel some frustration when we're not experiencing that inside of our own life. And what I want to begin by saying today is that there's a big difference between exploring your inheritance in Christ inside of the Bible and actually experiencing it. And on the way, the enemy is so nasty and is so mean that he will throw things your way to get you into fear so that you'll take flight and you won't find your purpose. You won't enjoy everything that Jesus died to give you. And I want to just, and that can bring frustration in our life, especially when we've heard God tell us, we know what he's promised, but we're just not experiencing it. And I want to bring you to one story inside of the gospel where the disciples become very frustrated. And it's going to start in Mark chapter 9. And what happens is that the disciples are there, and there's a lot of arguing going on. And so Jesus comes to them and says, "What is all this arguing about?" And then verse 17, one of the men of the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit and he won't talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently on the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't." And then Jesus says, "You faithless people, how long must I put up with you? How must bring the boy to me?" And basically they bring the boy to him and Jesus casts out the demon. And then it says, verse 28, afterward, Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples and they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" Right? Because the truth is that Jesus had already given them the authority to drive out demons. He had already sent them out. So he gave them that word, right? He gave them that promise. And so they're sitting there frustrated. And then verse 29, Jesus says, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer." You know, sometimes there are things in our life that you and I will face that can only be cast out by prayer. If you go back to my farm illustration, you know, we couldn't reason with that snake, right? We had to just take that snake out. And God has given us a powerful weapon, and it is prayer. And prayer puts us in a place that aligns us with God's power. It invites God into the situation. And see, you and I are essentially Christianity is a pilgrimage, that we are on this pilgrimage where we have been delivered from sin. We've received Christ as our Savior, and now we're passionately pursuing our purpose all the while on this pilgrimage where one day we will be in glory and there will be no more war and there will be no more sin and there will be no more sickness. But right now, you and I are on a pilgrimage. And as we walk on our pilgrimage, we are going to face problems. We're going to face problems. And sometimes those obstacles in our life, those problems can either create such fear, such doubt, such anxiety that we end up doing what I wanted to do, which is to crawl back in that cabin and just not move forward anymore. But God says, you fall back in prayer because some things in your life can only be addressed by prayer. And I wonder if anybody is listening today, and perhaps it is that you've got a battle that you're facing and there's an attack in on your life and you just think, "Lord, I just feel so powerless." Can I encourage you today that battle is going to be won on your knees? And maybe it is that the enemy continues to tempt you with a certain sin bait, right? And you feel like you keep falling to it. Can I encourage you today that perhaps it is that the only way that this can be conquered is through the power of prayer? Or maybe it is that you've experienced severe betrayal inside of your life. Maybe the husband that you love, you've just found out that he has an addiction to pornography, or perhaps it is that a friend that you've trusted has betrayed you and you're just hurt, or maybe it was that the family situation that you were in, the mother-in-law never approved of you, and you just feel betrayed, right? And so inside of that betrayal, God wants you to meet that betrayal with the power of prayer and the power of forgiveness. And he wants you to meet that temptation from the enemy with the power of prayer and the power of depending on God. And when you're faced with a battle, he cries out to you and he says, "You're no need to feel powerless. You can fall on your knees through the power of prayer, the power of prayer. See, what prayer does is it aligns us with God's power. And oftentimes when you and I are faced with a betrayal or a battle, or Satan is trying to tempt us with some kind of bait to get at a legitimate need met in an illegitimate way, that instead of trying to, that we'll try to fight that battle on our own, or we might feel so overwhelmed when God is saying, fall back on prayer. And at first, the first thing that I want to talk about is when we're faced with a battle and how prayer can help us there. And I'm going to take us to Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. And inside of this chapter, the Israelites are on their own pilgrimage, right? They've been rescued out of slavery. They are, you can hear my Bible pages turning because I'm turning from the New Testament to the Old Testament. Here we go. They are wandering through the wilderness, and they're on a pilgrimage away from their Egypt into their promised land. And on their pilgrimage, they face many struggles. They face the struggle of thirst, and they need water, and not having food, and then experiencing manna. And then inside of this pilgrimage, they're also faced with a battle. It says that the people of Israel met the warriors of Amalek, that they attacked them. Now, the Israelites were not warriors, right? They had just been released from this life of slavery. They were wandering around in the wilderness. And my guess is that, you know, they were not just prepared all the way for battle. They were probably weary, but here they are faced with an attack. And you might be in that situation. You're sure you're following Christ. You're on the pursuit of your purpose, and you're weary and worn out. And then not only that, but all of a sudden from left field, you've been faced with a battle. Well, Moses, the wise leader, does a very smart thing. He aligns himself with God's power. And he does this in many ways. But the one way that I want you to see today is that this story illustrates the power of prayer. It says that Moses told Joshua to go out and fight. And then in verse 10, it says, so Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, ready for this. So his hands held steady until sunset. And verse 13, as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. The battle was won through prayer. Moses lifting his arms up, that's symbolic of prayer. And so Moses begins in prayer, but I want you to see this about Moses, is that he not only began in prayer, but he allowed others to come alongside him and support him in the journey. And it says that Moses could no longer hold his hands up. And sometimes when I'm faced with a battle initially, my faith is so strong, and I'm ready to fight the battle, and I've got worship music praying, and my hands are raising high. But when I don't see complete victory yet, sometimes I can become weary from the battle, and I can begin to, you know, just hear the enemy whispering to my heart, did God really say, and do you really believe? And you can just feel so weary. And in that moment, the wrong thinking, because here's what the enemy will do. He'll get you weary in battle, and then he'll tell you that you're a bad Christian because you're weary in your faith. But see, what will happen to us is that God will bring believers alongside of us who will intercede and pray with us. This week, I reached out to a woman, and she's a somebody else in another ministry, and we work together. And I know her not super well, but I know that she is a prayer warrior. And so she was asking me, how can I pray for you? And so I told her there was an area of unforgiveness in my life, and that I knew that God was asking me to pray through. And you know, I loved her response, and I want you to hear this, body of Christ, because her response to me was not just, I'll pray with you. Her response to me was, Can we set up some time together so that I can pray with you? That is powerful. How many of us say to our friends, let me pray for you, but what would it be like the power of coming alongside where we say, let me pray with you? And the reason why this is powerful is because sometimes you come to the end of you. Sometimes your faith is frail because you've been fighting a long time. And it's in those moments that we need to receive help from the body of Christ, that when people come alongside us, that we need to say, yes, yes, pray with me. And we need to not only receive that, but we need to be that. In fact, I've found that whatever I sow, I reap, that if I'm that friend for somebody else, that God will put that in my life at a strategic time in exactly the time that I need it. And so this woman said that, and check this out, because here was my first gut response. Ooh, I don't know. I mean, we're in ministry together, and you know, if I'm in ministry, I'm supposed to have it all together, right? I mean, that was my initial response. And then I sent her a message back and I said, you know, initially I thought, you know, I shouldn't say I'm in ministry. I shouldn't, you know, and if Moses would have said there and said, you know, I'm the leader, I shouldn't be asking for help, you know, and that's just a bunch of malarkey, that the greatest leaders and whether at Treasure Ministries, we believe every woman is a leader, whether you're a mom or you're an entrepreneur or whatever. Whatever it is, you're a small group leader or you've got a ministry, whatever it is, that we're all in a leadership capacity somewhere. And a good leader will accept help from others. A good leader will stay humble. And so Moses was humble and he received that help. And sometimes when your faith is frail, that's when other people's faith, that's when the power of their faith can be there to lift you up. And this past week in particular, I have to be honest with you, sometimes with Treasure Ministries, when we're putting one foot in front of the other, my faith can kind of falter. And not that I don't lose my faith completely, but it's just fragile because life is hard, right? And the battle is real. But do you know that God strategically put that one person that said, let me pray with you. And then inside of church, there was somebody that came up to me after the service and said, I want us to pray together before we leave. And you know what I loved about those two women, and it just so inspired me to be that woman, is they not only asked, can I pray for you? Or how can I pray for you? No, it was like, let me pray with you. And in both of those situations, what both of those women prayed for, it was so powerful. I'm telling you, it was powerful. And God answered the prayers in a mighty way. And there was victory in my life over the unforgiveness in a most profound way. And at church, the woman that was praying for me at church, it was about provision, and God supplied this week, and it was unbelievable the way that God answered. So the case in point in this is that we need to be intercessors and we need to receive intercession, because when you're faced with a battle, the power is won and the battle is won on your knees. Now, you might be saying, you might be in this place where you feel alone. And you say, there's no one interceding for me. There's no one offering to intercede for me. Let me tell you something, that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is always interceding for us. And the Bible says that we can pray in the Spirit with words that, you know, that only God can understand. And we need to tap into that. And we need to allow God, Jesus, to pray, to be our intercessor on our behalf. When you are at the end of your rope, and you just don't know how else to pray, and you just don't know what else to pray for, intercession is the answer. And Jesus can always be that intercessor for you. And we need to realize that when others are facing battle, because how many of you like me, when my friends are facing a battle, I want to jump in and fix it. I want to give them a formula. I want to tell them this is what the Bible says. But I'm starting to see more and more that my first reaction to all of this is yes, to listen. We need to listen to our friends and to love them. But my first thing that I need to do is, instead of trying to fix or to preach or to give a formula, it's prayer. Because Mark 9 says some things can only come out by prayer. The next thing that I want to talk about is when Satan can use bait to distract you inside of your prayer life. Now, over inside of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is making his own pilgrimage into Jerusalem because it's the time of Passover. Jesus is making his journey. He is getting ready to be crucified on the Passover and resurrected to redeem us from our sins. And as he is on this journey, he goes to the temple. And Jesus is not the only one on this journey. There are many people traveling to Jerusalem, including people with not great means. And as they travel to the temple, of course, they don't have their animals with them. And so they have to buy their animals there. Well, people are taking advantage of that situation, and they are charging people more than they should. And I can't get into the specifics of this now, but there's a currency exchange, and they're taking advantage of that too. And the basic principle in all of this is that these people are being taken advantage of. And so there's this distraction inside of the temple, that while the temple was designed to be this house of prayer, that it's been turned into a den of thieves. Listen to what it says. This is Matthew 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And we know, because the Bible tells us that now you and I are the temple of God, that we are to be that temple of prayer. And see, the enemy doesn't want that. He wants to distract you from a prayer life, because if he can distract you from the prayer life, he can get you outside of God's power. See, he can throw things at you that can overtake you because your power is limited. But when you stand under God's power, and prayer really aligns you with God's power, prayer is that declaring your dependence on God, and the enemy can't stand against it, but he'll distract us. And one of the ways he distracts us is that when we get to that place of desperation, he will provide a bait for us to take. Now, let me break this down to you. So the people that were traveling, they were poor, right? And they were injured. They didn't take animals with them. And so really what they perceived is these animals, it's really all their choice, right? That's all that they had to do. They had to do the sacrifice. And so these were the only things being sold here, right? And so they bought them. And you know, I used to look at this passage, or I've looked at this passage in a lot of ways. I've never seen this before. I want you to hear something. So there's two people in here. There's the people that are selling, and there's the people that are buying. The people that are selling are taking advantage of the people that are buying. But listen to what Jesus says. It says, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. Now, this was new to me, because in the past, I've always looked at this passage and said, those stinkers that took advantage of those people, of course, they should be driven out. Go on, Jesus, drive them out. But in here, it says all the people. And what God, so in other words, what struck me about this passage, because see, I want to look at this, okay, and I want to say, well, that's not really fair that you drove out the people that were buying it, because God, what else? I mean, they were victims to these people that were taking advantage of them. And God used this picture to say to me, Eileen, we need to stop. And this is just me personally, what's going on in my life. God is bringing me out of that victim mentality to walk in victory. You need to stop stop. See, you know, this person took advantage of me and this happened and this person offered this to me and that's why I made that choice. Listen, we need to take responsibility for our own choices. And in those moments where you feel like there's no other option but for you to sell your soul out to somebody else to get acceptance, or there's no other option but for you to say yes to this person, right? You can't say no, right? And you're in this place of you know, where you feel like it's the only option. See, what the enemy will do is he will come in with a bait and he will tempt you to get a legitimate need met an illegitimate way. Now, back inside of that passage that we were reading in Exodus, right before that, the Israelites were complaining because they were thirsty and they wanted water. And God supplied their water, right? But he said that they were testing him. And so what I want you to see from that passage and hear, it's not that the need is wrong. It's that God wants you to get that need met through him and not depend on people. And if we are so people dependent, we will be prey. And see, I've got to take, I cannot blame people anymore because that will get me nowhere. That puts the power all on people. I've got to say, you know what? My God will supply all my needs. He'll supply all my needs for acceptance and for love. And so if you're going to treat me and trick me these ways, I'm free. I don't have to accept that anymore. And I don't know if this is rounding up the clear picture in this, but the basic thing that I wanted to say is that the enemy will bait you. He will bait you to get your needs met apart from God. And he will come and he will make you feel like it's the only option for you, right? And oftentimes what can happen inside of that time is we can say, is God really God? In other words, you might not have provision right now as you're talking. And so you may hear scriptures that says, God is my provider. And it might make you angry because you don't see provision in your life. And you might wonder, like, is God really here? Well, listen to this. It says that the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? And y'all, I'm guilty of this. Like, is God really my healer or not? You know, you look at the physicality of your life and what you can see with your eye. But see, here's what I know. And I don't know the ins and the outs. And I'm not trying to make this so simplistic, but it really is. We've got to have that childlike faith that just says, I don't see, but I believe. And I'm going to walk by faith. And I'm going to believe that God is who he says he is, not based on what I see, but what his word says. And time again, I've heard story from woman after woman that they've been at the end of their rope, the end of their rope with finances, the end of their rope with love, the end of their rope with just any sickness, anything going on in their life. And they reach out to God and they depend on him. Don't take that bait of Satan. And a part of that bait from Satan is to get you to fall into unbelief. I'm going to tell you something. It said that the temple had been turned into a den of thieves, and there's no greater thief than the thief of unbelief, the thief of unbelief. And back in that passage in Mark chapter 9, the man comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, help my unbelief. And that's one of the most powerful prayers we can pray. When you and I get into that place of insecurity, when you and I get into that place of fear, of worry and doubt, that we don't need to falter because we're in that place of fear, but that we need to hit the ground in prayer and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my insecurity. Lord, help my unbelief to put my faith in dependence in you. And then whatever it is that you're lacking, whether it's a lack of love or a lack of acceptance, or maybe it is that sin habit that you just can't break, you go to God and you ask him for victory. The next thing that I want to talk about in clearing that temple is unforgiveness. Now, this is big, y'all. Now, by the time that you are listening to this, we have produced these two podcasts. You can search on our website and find them, called How to Forgive, and they are awesome. They are awesome. And I love this because for many years, I would hear forgive, forgive, forgive. And I would be like, I know. But it was such a hard concept. I didn't know how to do it. I really didn't have the correct definition of it. And doesn't that frustrate you when someone tells you to do something but doesn't tell you how to do it? That podcast is really going to help you. So search on our website and find it. But the principle that I want you to see in here is that unforgiveness will clutter your temple. It will clutter your temple. And we need to cleanse that out. In fact, you need to settle accounts quickly. And sometimes in order to do that, we have to confront. And sometimes in order to do that, you know, we have to let go. And sometimes it's a process that has to be supernatural of the Lord. And I just encourage, I'm not going to go into the specifics, but I am going to tell you that forgiveness is all about where your faith is, and that it is a process. It is absolutely the hardest thing for me inside of my Christian walk. So I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's fun. But I am saying that I think that there's a lot of miscommunication about it. And at Treasured Ministries, one of the things that I am determined to do is to teach the correct truth about what forgiveness is. Because I think a lot of people don't forgive because the enemy gets us confused about what forgiveness really is. All right, enough on that. For the lack of time, I cannot go into the specifics of that. All I can say is you're going to need to listen to that podcast. All right. And so Jesus clears the temple. And here's what I want you to see, that after the clearing, there was a healing. After the clearing, there was a healing. In Matthew 21, starting in verse 14, it says, "The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." We need to take that cleansing of the temple seriously. And you know something that's so beautiful? This is the second time the temple had been cleared inside of Scripture. And there's a lesson for us in that. And that is that the temple needs to be continually cleansed. We need to continually go before God. And one of the most powerful ways you can do that is by spending time daily inside of His Word. At Treasured Ministries, the goal is daily truth for your victory. And one of the ways that you do that is by developing that daily habit. And we've got resources to help you do that. In fact, we developed this thing called the Nourish Notebook. It was literally a three-year process that I took to develop this. And it incorporates the Nourish Method, but also God brought me through a process where He showed me that while I had powerful prayer lives for everybody else, that I wasn't praying big, bold prayers for me. And that if I would start to pray and have a prayer life that flowed from my study of God's Word, that it would become powerful. And so God, part of the Nourish Notebook is we have these personalized prayer sheets that take you through, that if you study a passage, it takes you through, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit is highlighting for you, and allows you to put it in a prayerful power life. And I'm telling you, this has revolutionized my prayer life. And I believe in the Nourish Notebook. I believe in what it has to offer you. And that's why I preach it, right? And part of this is the power of prayer. So it's going to give you that daily truth, right? That daily truth for victory. And so when we are in the Word every day, we have a army of word to throw back at the enemy. We have an army of promises that we can claim and throw back at the enemy. And that inside of the prayer life is awesome. See, if you have a problem in your life, if you are facing an obstacle, one of the most powerful things that you can do is to pray. And not just any old prayer, but you get a word from God and you pray that word back to Him. And here's the other cool thing. The battles in your life, the betrayals that you experience, the bait from the enemy, they are all the very birthing ground for you to experience a greater revelation of the power of God through prayer. You see, it allows us to put our faith in action. It gives us that opportunity to pray. And you know what? The Israelites, they were on a pilgrimage to the Promised Land. Jesus was on a pilgrimage to the Passover feast so he could be crucified and resurrected. You and I, we are on a pilgrimage. We are traveling through this world. This world is not our home. And all the battles that we've, it's all temporary, friends. But you know what we need to do? We need to take our authority in the Word of God. We need to develop a big, bold prayer life. We need to get passionate about what the Word says and put it into practice, because what you have to offer matters. See, the battle that you're facing, the betrayal, the bait, all those things in your life, let that, see, here's what the enemy will do. He'll put that in your life and he'll say, gosh, are you really a good Christian? I'm not sure if all this is going on. But what if, the battles bear witness that what you have to offer is powerful. It's beautiful. And that's why you must be brave and continue to move on. What a beautiful, beautiful thing, the gift of prayer. And when you and I pray, we put the enemy in his place. And that is your Treasured Tribe Talk today. If you are interested in getting a Nourish Notebook, and with the Nourish Notebook, you get access to the 21-Day Challenge, which is 21 videos that takes you through developing that habit of spending time with God. And inside of that is how, there are prayer sheets that we use and how to use them. And I promise you that is just the tool that you need to build that powerful prayer life. And you, your purpose matters, and that's why we need to put the enemy in his place, because on the pathway, on the pilgrimage, there's going to be problems, but you can stand on the Word of God, and you can become all that God has created you to be. So that's our podcast today. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. And I would ask, who do you know that needs to hear this podcast? You know, one of the most powerful things you can do to help us grow as a ministry is really sharing Treasured Ministries, sharing this podcast with others. So I pray that you will not only receive this message, but in turn, give it to somebody who needs to hear it today. Thanks so much for listening in, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.